This morning I'm preaching from Jonah. I am going to be preaching through the whole book of Jonah like I did last week, different theme, different lesson from the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you that Jonah is a very interesting book. And in this particular piece of history, we have something that shows us a curse which besets individuals, even whole nations. It's very devastating. And those who have it are sometimes unaware they have it. It can reside deep in people, hidden. But when it raises its ugly head, it sticks out like the sore face of an ugly monster, because that's what it is. And sometimes people know they have it, but they don't care. They welcome the monster, they feed the monster. Both unsaved and saved people, Christians, can have this. And it is a curse. It's not a blessing. Transgresses the law of Christ, hurts people, and I'm talking about prejudice and bigotry. Prejudice and bigotry. That's what I'm preaching on. The horrible curse of prejudice and bigotry. Prepare your heart for this sermon. Jonah shows the curse of prejudice and bigotry. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you guide me to preach your word, that we would learn and that we would live it for your glory. In Jesus' name, open our hearts. Amen. Now, prejudice means prejudge. But in its semantic range, because all words have a semantic range, it has various meanings. Webster's dictionary gives a fuller picture of the curse I'm preaching on. It says, prejudice is an irrational attitude of hostility directed against an individual, a group, or a race. That's the prejudice I'm talking about, particularly racial, but actually all of it. And there's bigotry. Webster's dictionary says bigotry is to be obstinately or intolerantly devoted to one's own prejudices, especially regarding or treating the members of a group, such as a racial or ethnic group, with hatred and intolerance. Well, obstinance toward a racial or ethnic group with hatred and intolerance is the bigotry that I'm also talking about this morning. Those definitions give us a mugshot of what the two-headed monster looks like. And today, in our culture, all over the place, we see this. I mean, if you go across the world to China, they claim everyone's equal. They have it in their communist constitution. They claim this. Everyone's equal, no matter what your ethnic background is. But you'll find a huge number of Chinese Han are prejudiced and they're bigoted toward Tibetans and Uyghurs. Millions of them. Prejudice against them. Won't talk to them, won't touch them, treat them unfairly. You find people who are prejudiced and bigoted against anyone there who's not Chinese at all. Go over to India. You find there's racial prejudice all across the nation. They're all just people. But the people there in India know the distinctions exist, and they're carried by the people across the land. Find the same kind of monster existing all across Europe, Russia, the Middle East, even in Israel. There are Jews who are prejudiced and bigoted toward non-Jews. There are non-Jews who are prejudiced and bigoted toward Jews. I've seen the trend with people who claim to be Christians. Yeah, when they speak of Jews, everything they say sounds like the monster talking. It reeks of hatred. And the curse infects people in Latin America. When I did missionary work among the cave-dwelling Tarahumara Indians in Mexico, I found that the Tarahumaras were prejudiced and bigoted against the rest of humanity. They thought that they were superior. They thought that they were the ones created by God and we were all created by the devil. Now, in our nation, you will find people have prejudice and bigotry. And they act as if it's set in stone like a monument. I've seen it in respect to national origin. I've seen it in respect to skin color. That's a common one. And so maybe you're thinking about all this and you realize that you have prejudice and bigotry in you. Well, Jonah had it. And Jonah also shows the consequences. God wants us to examine ourselves according to his word to root out this monster if it's there. Jonah is going to help us do it. And I want to start with the main consequence. One of the biggest consequences of prejudice and bigotry is that it makes you disobedient and dishonoring to the Lord, our Lord, God. Prejudice and bigotry is a sin problem. It's not a skin problem. It's not an outer man problem. It's an inner man problem. And as God's child, you want to be obedient to him inwardly and outwardly. You want to honor the Lord. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit. You want to manifest the life of Christ. Well, Jonah, in this old covenant situation, was God-fearing. He was a God-fearing man, and he thought he was honoring the Lord. He knew the old covenant, sought to keep it. He walked with God as a prophet. He had the privileged gift of hearing God's voice in a very special way. Jonah was known as a man who honored the Lord in obedience. But then one day, God spoke to Jonah. And God wanted to use Jonah for prophetic ministry. So God told Jonah, go out to a foreign people, to the Assyrians in Nineveh, city full of pagans. They were people Jonah was prejudiced and bigoted toward. God told him, you need to warn these people because in 40 days, they're going to be destroyed for their wickedness. But Jonah also prophetically knew those same people would believe and turn to God. And Jonah knew the people he was prejudiced and bigoted toward would be spared, and they would actually become worshipers of God. That God in his character would be gracious, loving, and kind. And Jonah says this in his recounting of all that happened. Jonah knew God was going to relent concerning his threatened judgment. That supernatural insight should have been good news of rejoicing, right? I mean, it's the right mind, it's the right heart. But Jonah had the monster lurking in his heart. And so what should have been inspiration for rejoicing became a pointer showing the curse in Jonah's heart. And there is going to be something in our lives God will use as a pointer to point out in your own heart if the monster is there, the curse is there in your own life. But Jonah was blinded to the people that God chose for God's outreach, for God's warning. He was blinded to the peopleness that God wanted to save in love. People love God's will. Jonah only wanted to see them get hurt. Why? Because he's prejudiced. He's bigoted. Now, here's the thing. Prejudice and bigotry twisted Jonah from being consistent in going forward and doing God's will. It's a problem. You are a Christian. You're God's child. And what you need to realize at the first level is that prejudice and bigotry in any Christian is already disobedience and dishonor. It's rejecting the heart of God. It's rejecting what God has done in your heart with the love of Christ. But think about the level that Jonah is showing us, showing you. To know God's grace, to foresee that Nineveh would turn to God, Jonah was more than unhappy in his prejudice and his bigotry. He decided to take it to a higher level. In his hatred for the Ninevites, listen, he chose to blatantly go and disobey the Lord in many other ways. He was so messed up in his sinful heart that he ran the other way in dishonor of the Lord. And this is the crazy thing about prejudice and bigotry. But it happens to Christians just like it happened to Jonah. It's already wrong. Christians, we know we shouldn't do this. We should be avoiding it. But when its evil power gets you, God's child, it will get you doing other things that are wrong. You will ignore God's will concerning your relationship with others who are of a different color, a different culture, or a different country. I mean, it's like the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Prejudice and bigotry is the root of all kinds of evil. You won't want to serve people in their needs. You won't see them the way God sees them, value that they have. You will refuse to help those brothers and sisters who are part of the body of Christ. You won't be friends with them. You dehumanize certain people in your heart, so the actions then of dehumanization follow. And then there's something that's just as crazy. The monster will get you disobeying and dishonoring God, knowing that bad consequences will be there because of it. And this form of contempt is such a powerful force. It will make you act in sin of prejudice and bigotry like you just don't care. And when Jonah was trying to run away in disobedience and dishonor, he actually said he feared God. So he's on the run because of this prejudice and bigotry, but he's a God-fearing man the whole time. He knew he's going to suffer the consequences, but he didn't want to let go of this curse in his heart. It's hurting his walk with God. The Apostle Paul says that whatever you do, you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, do all to the glory of God, whatever you do. Well, all through God's word, you're told to manifest the life of Christ, not to just certain people, but to everyone. Manifest his life. And so the consequence of allowing prejudice and bigotry to exist in your heart is that you eclipse the life of Christ to certain people. You grieve the Holy Spirit. You de-glorify God with the monster that you allow to survive. And ultimately, Jonah preaches. He preaches God's word. Tells them they need to repent. Tells them they're going to be destroyed. Well, the Ninevites did what Jonah knew they would do. They believed in God, 3:5 explains, and they also believed God, so they called on him. And this is really what we want to see happen to all people, everywhere, no matter who they are. Any person, we want to see them believe in the one true God through Jesus Christ. We want them to believe him. We want them to seek him, to follow him. Well, the Ninevites did that, and they turned from their wicked ways. But 4:1 says that the whole beautiful work of repentance and God's grace greatly displeased Jonah, became furious. Prejudice and bigotry blocks you from praise and worship at the time you should be doing it. It blocks your spiritual senses. Your needlessly emotionally charged sin is truly cursing you. When prejudice and bigotry is in your heart, it's simply at work doing what it's supposed to do. You might be going along, you might well thinking, I'm a biblical Christian. But you're allowing this monster to live in your heart. And since you haven't let the Holy Spirit deal with it, be expecting one thing. The monster does the bad it's supposed to do. And Jonah was angry. And it says, even while confessing from his angry lips that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and relents concerning threatened judgment, he had that attitude. And we all know these things about God. So what I'm about to say needs to be taken very seriously. Jonah was much more than angry about the Ninevites believing in God and turning from their wicked ways. Jonah was angry with God. And see, this is the deception of the monster. It expects God to agree with your prejudice and your bigotry, like you have some kind of truth that you're defending and holding on to. People who are controlled by the monster will get angry when you tell them that God doesn't agree with them. He doesn't have that view. He's not thinking like you concerning that prejudice and bigotry. Now, of course, God did not agree with Jonah. Now, you may have prejudice and bigotry with people because of their skin color, because of their heritage, because of where they're from. And you might think, you know, you're justified. But listen, God doesn't agree with you. So what are you going to do about it? Are you happy that God disagrees with you? Are you unhappy that God operates in love toward people no matter what their heritage, their color, their weird customs and strange habits are to you? Well, that's God and the Ninevites. God manifested his perfect mind there. And so Jonah's anger showed that he was directly dishonoring the Lord. He was not glorifying God. He was dishonoring the Lord's opinion. He was dishonoring the Lord's way. And the monster that Jonah harbored in his heart was an enemy against the heart of God. Now it's crazy, but Jonah the prophet found himself in opposition to God. Prejudice and bigotry produces spiritual insanity. I wish you had your note paper with you. You can write that down. Prejudice and bigotry produces spiritual insanity. Are you prejudicial and bigoted, and are you seeking to justify it? If so, know this. Your heart is not arguing with pseudo-social justice warriors who are just trying to stir up things. You're not arguing with the latest narrative in the political agenda scheme. You're acting in spiritual insanity, and you're arguing with God. And this is a plain fact. You are sinning. You are disagreeing with him concerning the love of Christ that he wants you to manifest. And so this gets me to the strange randomness of prejudice and bigotry. It really is strange. The random standards of prejudice and bigotry show an instability of arbitrary application. I'm going to explain this, unpack this. They exist that way because they come from sin. They don't come from God. That's why they're this way. So think about this. When Jonah's fleeing on this boat, he's on this boat, there's shipmen there and they're on board, and these guys are from various backgrounds. They were not Hebrews like Jonah. 1:4 says that every man cried to his God. They did not cry to the one true God. And at one point, the captain told Jonah, you need to call on your God. Jonah told him, he's a Hebrew. He feared the one true God. So here's what we know about a standard laid before Jonah and us. There's a standard here, right? What is it? None of the ship's crew worshiped the one true God. They were not Israelites. Well, they seem like the obvious brunt of prejudice and bigotry from Jonah, right? After all, he's an Israelite who worshiped the one true God. But prejudice and bigotry make up inconsistent standards. Jonah was not prejudiced and bigoted toward these people, even though they're radically different from himself in so many ways. Jonah spontaneously told them how to save themselves through sacrificing him by throwing him overboard. He's the one that came up with that plan for them. So where was the prejudice and bigotry? What Jonah had against the pagans of Nineveh was absent for those pagan shipmen. Prejudice and bigotry has random standards, and it's arbitrarily applied. It gets people trying to justify hatred against one group, but not another, even though they share similar traits. And it's so weird. Sometimes others can't seem to figure out why the one discriminating sees a difference. You know, people make up the differences they think matter. They think matter for manifesting the curse. What differences are you making up that you're trying to make matter when it comes to others? The Assyrians were enemies of Israel. But God did not say to Jonah to hate the Assyrians. And then, you know what, Jonah, make that your standard of prejudice and bigotry toward them now. No. Jonah knew that God was going to embrace the Ninevites in love. That's what makes this so profound. Jonah created his own hatred. You follow what I'm saying? The men on the ship were just as guilty of spiritual darkness as Ninevites. Bible says, you know what the Bible says? That makes them enemies of God. So Jonah's there on the ship. He's among enemies of God. So when it comes to God's standards, God did not approve of the Assyrians in their sin. God did not approve of the shipmen in their sin. God did not approve of the apostate Israelites in their sin either. They had turned against God in that day. And he does not approve of you or anyone sinning. God's holy. God's righteousness is consistent at all times. God calls all people to repent, turn to him. And he's very joyous when they do. And his grace and his mercy is bestowed according to his perfect will as the perfect, perfect God. Human hearts, though, are imperfect, inconsistent judges, tainted by sin. They will discriminate against certain people based on inconsistent rules, rules that they maybe learned somewhere, not rules from God. So know this. Prejudice and bigotry is hypocritical judgment. And it's you inventing your own random standards of right and wrong when you do it, if you do it. Now, it could be that you've adopted those standards from someone else. Maybe you just come up with them on your own. You may not know why you have them. You just do. But see, this is how the curse works. It just likes to creep in all through history. All through history since the beginning to do this. Back then, Jonah's people, Israel at the time, had turned against God. And God wanted Israel to get rid of their idols. He wanted them to repent. And God said this. He wanted the king of Israel to lead the people to call on God. The king to lead the people to call on him. To turn from their wicked ways so that God would turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that they would not perish. Well, Jonah agreed with that, and he wanted Israel to do that, but Israel did not do it. Now, remember how prejudice and bigotry is inconsistent. Jonah was not prejudiced and bigoted toward idol-worshipping, immoral, God-hating Israel. But listen to this. Nineveh, we read, actually did all those same exact list of things that God and Jonah wanted Israel to do. All of them. The king of Nineveh led the people, it says, to call on God. They turned from their wicked ways. They actually worshiped the one true God. This is amazing. This is a historical event that's just absolutely mind-blowing. And when Nineveh did this, the monster showed its inconsistency. And God asked Jonah if he had a good reason to be angry about Nineveh turning to himself, to God. Jonah was so consumed with prejudice and bigotry that he had the gall to say to God, "Yes, I have reason to be angry." Wow. But consistent godliness is happy about the repentance of anyone. It loves what God loves, which are people. See? People. When you are led by the Spirit, you want to show the love of Jesus to everyone, to people. Jonah was blinded by biased hate. God knew it. So he made that illustration to reveal Jonah's heart. I talked about it last week. God grew a plant to shade Jonah from the hot sun. The God sent a worm to eat the plant. Jonah loved that plant, liked the shade, but he was mad about the plant dying. God had it die. And this showed Jonah's selfish standard. And God explained that Jonah had compassion on the plant. God was pointing out Jonah's prejudice and bigotry and not having more compassion on Ninevites, actual humans, people that come from Adam and Eve, people like Jesus came manifested in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man, actual beings who have an everlasting destiny, see? Jonah's inconsistent standards had to do with personal preferences, selfish reasons. That's the monster. You need to examine yourself. You need to look for that. This is very important, people. You don't want spiritual insanity, right? And so God's lesson to Jonah is God's lesson to all of us. It shows how then to be consistent. Put away personal opinions of a selfish heart. Tap into the heart of Christ. It's been given to you by the Holy Spirit. Have compassion on who God has compassion, which is people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. Humanity. Everyone. Everyone comes from Adam and Eve. We're all related. Truly as a giant family. The human race. Everyone is conceived and born in sin. Everyone does sin. Everyone has the same problem. It's our shared family inheritance of sin. We are all in bondage to that sin unless rescued by the Savior and regenerated into the family of salvation. That's where we're new creations, a holy nation, a holy ethnos, a royal priesthood. And that inherited sin that we all get makes all people ignorant of the difference between the right and left hand, just like the Ninevites, but when it comes to the life of Christ Jesus. Everyone is growing up overnight and dying in a short lifespan. God sees all people as being in need of the saving love of Jesus. And God wants you, He wants me, He wants all Christians to be consistent. He wants us to see all people as people. Love those in the body of Christ the way Jesus loves them. Love those spiritually lost in the body of Adam with care and respect that wants them to be saved through Jesus to become part of the family of God in Him. Okay? And so I want our hearts to spend more time on this love aspect in all of this. You know, the Spirit is concerned with what prejudice and bigotry does to love. It's a love killer. Think about how it makes you operate then also in misplaced love. For you and me, the love of Christ is everything. Jonah loved Israelites. Jonah showed self-sacrificial love for the non-Israelite pagans on the boat. He did. Jonah claimed to love God. It's misplaced because he did not love what God was going to show his loving kindness to. Jonah's love became misplaced. This is what I'm wanting us to think about. Jonah even loved a mere plant because of selfishness. When God destroyed the plant, Jonah didn't care about the plant out of love for the plant's benefit. He was angry because of self-love, misplaced love. Jonah lost his shade, misplaced love. God wants your love to be rightly placed. He wants you to love people of other countries, cultures, and colors, even if you don't benefit from them. That's rightly placed love. Even if you don't benefit, see? God wants you to even love the unlovely. That's right-placed love. And what happens when you love the unlovely? You show that they're not unlovely because you're showing what Christ wants you to do. This is Christian love, by the way. It has a unique definition. It's what we know as Christians. Don't expect this out of the people in the world. I'm not preaching to them. We're not talking to them. Jonah's not talking to them. He's talking to people of God. God wanted Jonah to see the people in Nineveh with different eyes. Eyes of the love of God, right placed. The eyes of Jesus looking down from the cross, those eyes. The eyes of Jesus now looking down from heaven, those are the eyes. The eyes of Jesus looking at others through you. You follow what I'm saying? After those Ninevites repented, well, they were even more lovable. Think about that. But prejudice and bigotry doesn't care. It misplaces love. It eclipses love of God, crosses people off. It turns its back on them. Here's what God wants you to do. Manifest the love that Jonah failed in. God wants you to love all the beings he loves enough to send his son to die for. You are in Christ Jesus. The greatest gift of the Spirit that you have with your salvation is Christian love. It's the great commandment of Christ. It's the law of Christ. It's the heart of God. It's a great spiritual gift. When you slay the monster of prejudice and bigotry with love, you will see people as ministry opportunities. You will embrace lives that you once despised. You will seek to heal them because you're going to love them. Your love is going to minister to lives that you once rejected. Love is your ministry calling. We're all called. The Lord has called us all to this ministry. What is it? To manifest the love of Christ. To who? To people. People. Just make that the category. People. No subcategories going on there, right? Love like Christ loved you, and you will see all people as God's creations that are really just like you. People. And you will see that those who are not saved, they're blind and they need Jesus. You'll see that those who are saved are your brothers and sisters. They're people. And their weird customs will be meaningless. Their skin color will be so irrelevant that you're going to be surprised that anyone makes it an issue. Like the Spirit, you will grieve at the tragedy of prejudice and bigotry and what the curse is doing in people's lives. And not only that, but if you have it, you will grieve at what it has done in your own life. Amen? So remember Jonah. He shows the curse of prejudice and bigotry, which may have roots in your own life. Remember that one of the biggest consequences of prejudice and bigotry is that it is sin. And this sin makes you disobedient and dishonoring to the Lord in many, many ways. Also remember that it is an arbitrary controller. Prejudice and bigotry is arbitrary. It's strangely random. It is inconsistent because humanity is consistently thinking according to sin. So remember the remedy. Manifest the life of Christ, God's cleansing path that cleanses from prejudice and bigotry is love, Christian love. It slays the monster. It sees people with the eyes of God. It seeks unity and building up others as life in the Spirit. Amen.